Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Football Conversation on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We are on social. If you want to follow us, if you want to interact with us when we're not on the air, at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny. For Danny, speaking of social media, the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account provides a poll for you every single day during our show based on one of our topics, our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day today. What has been the biggest surprise for the Commanders offense through four games? The Daniel slow start in the first couple, the emergence of Chris Paul as a starting guard who's playing at a high level, the running back committee working as well as it is after the Robinson trade and the Eckler injury, or a fast start for Deebo Samuel. Danny, 66% of people most surprised by the fact that Jaden looked average for the first couple of games before his injury.
Interesting to me. I called that. So not necessarily, you know, proud of it, but so little time together, so little time with McLaurin, so little time in the preseason, nothing but rest days and vet days for everybody that's ever played more than an hour in the NFL. It looked like they were going to get off to a sluggish start, and that's kind of what happened on offense.
I went with Chris Paul.
That's my answer.
14% of people. So we're two of the proud Chris Paul voters. But yeah, this guy was drafted a couple regimes ago, I think. You know, it's like wild that, that he has been a survivor through different groups coming into the building as a 7th-round pick who every camp you assume maybe he doesn't make the team this year. Not only that, now he's starting not because of injuries, but because they think he's the best option and he's playing well. That's your Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. Local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. All right, let's go through the Week 5 matchups in the NFL. Take our first glance at the NFL slate this weekend. We've been telling you about tonight's Thursday night tilt. The 49ers are the walking wounded. They just have so many injuries. And they are going to L.A. to take on the Rams. This game tonight, now up to an 8.5-point divisional spread. Tells you a lot, doesn't it? Mac Jones, without his top three wide receivers, backups all over the place, the Rams are going to roll.
That's what it looks like on paper. Now, weird stuff happens on Thursday. Weird stuff happens in divisional games. And it should be, on paper, a Rams rolloping romp through a Thursday night football cruise control victory. They'll be 4-1, you would think. But again, weird stuff happens. But just to not to understate it, it's Pearsall, it's Jennings, it's Purdy, it's Nick Bosa on IR. I mean, they are so beleaguered and banged up at this point, and it just felt like what was inevitably going to happen to them. But this is an important one. If San Francisco somehow escapes with this win and is able to kind of tread water a little bit, they got a softer schedule coming up where they might get to where they want to go.
The lowest total for any game this week is in Cleveland, should be, Vikings and the Browns. Carson Wentz leading the offense for Minnesota. They're on to backup quarterback 2. And in Cleveland, they're debuting a rookie against Brian Flores, who's one of the best, most creative blitz package designing coordinators in all of football. Could be an ugly start for Dylan Gabriel. Preach some patience here for a week. Let's get him through this part of the schedule and get him into some games where you're not taking on Brian Flores, who makes veteran quarterbacks look bad. But the Browns host the Vikings in Cleveland. They are 3.5-point home underdogs. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, the Texans 1-3, the Ravens 1-3. Someone's going to be in a really bad spot as it pertains to the playoffs when this game ends. I like Houston to beat Baltimore, and it feels crazy to say that, but they are favored by 1.5. Lamar Jackson, not going to go. Craziest stat I've heard all day. Dan Orlovsky on ESPN today mentioned this. Do you know that on first and second down, the Ravens hand the ball off the least amount in the league, despite being the most successful when they do it with Derrick Henry? The least runs on first and second down, early down rate, despite being most effective, the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I was texting with Valdez about this, and he's right. He's like, their offense isn't the problem. Who cares? And I looked it up. They have one of the highest-ranked offenses in football. It's their defense that stinks, so who really cares? You're running it, you're passing it, you're moving the ball. But I would say, if you handed it off a little more, maybe had a little more time of possession, maybe you could keep that defense off the field a little more.
I'd have to start accounting for that, honestly, because that defense has been such a disappointment. So, again, I saw the stat from Bill Barnwell. This is the one that blew my mind. Ravens starters missed a total of 7 games all last season. The entire year, offense and defense combined. They're going to be down 7 starters this Sunday in one game alone. Like, they are destroyed and decimated by injuries at this point. And they're already 1-3.
Also, you were talking about Jaden Daniels, slow start, whatever. Lamar Jackson was not playing very well. I thought, go back and watch the Chiefs game, the tape, if you want to call it that, but just going back and watching his throws on NFL Pro, it was an ugly performance. And before that, the week before, I can't even remember who they played in prime
Detroit.
Time. Detroit. I thought he played in the second half of that game. I thought he was not good either. This is an MVP. This is a superstar, but it just, you know, a couple of weeks where it wasn't great for him, even though, again, the offense is not the
problem. And the overall numbers look great, but if you saw it, you know exactly what Grant's talking about. It just hasn't been the right thing.
Elsewhere, Dolphins, Panthers, and Charlotte. This is a surprising betting line, I think, because to me, Miami's one of these teams you think, maybe I'll take them as a survivor play. They're only a 1-point favorite in Carolina after the Panthers got embarrassed this past weekend. They lost 42-13 to the New England Patriots. But at home, last time they played in Charlotte, and frankly, the only time this year they played in Charlotte, the other 3 games they've played, believe it or not, on the road, they beat the Falcons 30-0. So they come back home, and I guess the expectation from odds makers is they're going to give the Dolphins all they can handle.
And the Dolphins know Tyreek Hill. They're, you know, beleaguered and sort of walking wounded in their own right, have been particularly spectacular in pretty much any game. They were competitive each of the last couple of weeks. But, yeah, this is a puzzling line to me. This is one of those I have no idea what to expect from either team, to be honest with you.
I'm going to skip through some of the duds to get to some of the interesting games this weekend. The Broncos are at the Eagles. Philly is a 4-0 host at Lincoln Financial Field. Denver's only 2-2, but they're coming off of a win that looked like it was supposed to. They beat down the Bengals and a backup quarterback, Jake Browning, 28-3. Their losses are by a point to the Colts, should not have happened. Bad penalty allowed the Colts to kick a second field goal after a miss, or else they'd be 3-1. Huge, huge difference early in the year. And then they played a super close game to the Chargers where Justin Herbert was spectacular at the end to beat them. So they've been in all 4 games. They could easily be 4-0. Instead, they are 2-2, but they're playing an Eagles team that has written the book on doing just enough.
This feels like a prime candidate game for Philadelphia to finally have some of their bad habits come home to roost. Denver is hungry, frisky, good on defense. They can you know, shove it in the run game. Saquon Barkley hasn't gotten off to a great start, and they've got a good enough secondary where they can slow down these receivers. Defensively, I think they match up really well with Philadelphia. So now watch Philly play their best game and smack them around. But on paper, this looks like a Denver team that might give Philadelphia that first out. It's a 4.5-point spread on FanDuel.
Broncos are the number 8 defense in the NFL right now. They're number 8 against the pass as well. 16th against the run so far this season. Saquon Barkley, to your point, right around 3 yards per carry. Does not look anything like he did early last season. But who cares if you're in Philly? They are 4-0. This is a really fun game between 2 teams that have a very good chance to make the playoffs. 3-1 Tampa Bay is in 3-1 Seattle. The Bucs at the Seahawks. We talked earlier about Seattle. I think this is an upstart, really quality team. 3 straight wins by 2 touchdowns over the Steelers, by about 30 points over the Saints, and then they survived after beating up the Cardinals for a half. They barely escaped a primetime game last Thursday, a week ago tonight, against Arizona. But they've had extra rest. Now they host Tampa Bay. You know I love the Thursday into a home game where you get to be home all that time. The Bucs have to travel to you coming off of a loss in a physical game with Philly. I like Seattle to get a win, but this will be a fun matchup between the 3-1s in the NFC.
Obviously no Mike Evans, but probably no Bucky Irving as well. And I think he was in a walking boot, if I've got my injuries right. Apologies if it's wrong, but he looks like he's banged up. A lot of Rashad White emergency fantasy pickups looking that way. But the Seattle team is really, really good. They don't have that triumvirate of receivers that they had for so many years where it was Metcalf and Lockett and kind of somebody else. It's moved to JSN and a running game, but that defense is pretty good. And Sam Darnold, you know, you're basically saying, don't screw us, make a couple of plays, and we'll have a great chance to win. Again, I like that team a lot.
Dad says he's got a nugget here.
Danny, you might want to take your earphones off. This one's just for me and Grant and the rest of the people that actually care about these things. Have you seen the uniform matchup for Tampa Bay and Seattle?
Oh, have I?
Oh, man.
By the way, we might be in store for one of the better uniform weeks in a long, long time. Have you seen the uniforms the Buffalo Bills are going to wear?
Oh, yes, I have.
Against the New England Patriots on primetime.
Yeah, so with the Seattle, it's going to be their Steve Largent, Jim Zorn era throwbacks.
You could just say the Sillies.
Yeah, right.
One versus of the great uniforms ever.
Versus what Tampa Bay is rolling out, their new version of the old creamsicle white uniforms. It's just going to be an unbelievable
visual. Can I say the
experience.
Word horny? Am I? No, I can't.
You can
right?
say that.
Jim Zorny. I'll say I'm Jim Zorny for that uniform matchup. How about that? And to go back to the Bills, because Darius just pretended like that wasn't happening. What do they call those? They call them like their winter cold or something. I saw it.
Yeah, it's like the, blizzard something.
Yeah, it's like the snowplow. They're like all whites with silver numbers or something. Oh.
Silver numbers? So you can't see them?
No. Well, I don't know if you... I wouldn't want to call play-by-play of the game, I'll tell you that. They are fire. I would show you a picture, but it would be a waste of my time.
I see. I got you.
Here's what you would do. Oh, cool.
It's their cold front uniforms.
Boom.
It's their Super Bowl disappointment uniform.
You know what they are? Cold. That's what the kids call it, I think.
The coldest.
What else we got this weekend? Let's see. Speaking of the Patriots and the Bills, is that game fun? I think
it's fun. I certify that one fun.
So Buffalo is an 8.5-point favorite. I think they probably win by 10. I don't think New England's good. But Drake May has been a little bit... he's playing good ball. What if Drake May has a day? Little mini Josh Allen situation there.
Here's my...
Could they hang with the Bills?
This is the point I'm going to make. Buffalo knows. Buffalo's very aware of their place in the food chain. They're doing the, just enough. Come see us in January. We know we're excellent. We're either the one seed or the two seed or the three. They are going far this year, and they know it. They're not putting all in. They're not working the same way. Their eye line is different. This is a statement, prove it, on the road New England game where you're going to get their best bullet. This is an intriguing one to me. That's why I certify it fun. This is a coming out party for Drake May, Vrabel and company on Sunday Night Football. That's an intriguing matchup to me.
Some of your headlines in the NFL in week 5 to set the table ahead of Thursday Night Football. Speaking of Thursdays in football, we got to get you our confidence points picks on Grant and Danny. Doesn't really matter who wins. Nobody ever remembers. You just can't pull up the rear.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, big voice guy. So, Darius, can we get a scoreboard update? I need a standings going into week 5 in the NFL season. As a reminder, before you make fun of how many points we have knocked down the number of games we do. We used to do 5 games, so we had a possibility of getting 15 points in any given week. We now only do 3 games, so at max, you're getting 6 points. So this is out of a possible 24 points to this point.
That would be correct. We enter week 5 with Toby leading the pack with 13 points. Grant is in second place with 9 points. I am in third place with 7 points. Ryan in fourth place with 6 points. And Danny in last place with 5 points.
So did Danny not turn in his picks for like 3 weeks or something?
It's a great bit. Toby's the only guy with a winning record, by the way. Isn't that amazing?
It has been a bad week.
C7-2. Everyone else is losing.
It has been a terrible season for all of us in confidence points. There's no doubt. Toby's the only one that's showed well. But I want to go back to the question. I'm actually being serious. Have you just not turned in picks? Because there's been...
Might as well have.
There's been a possibility of 24 points. Surely you don't have five.
I sure do. I have the same record as Ryan and Darius, but of course I don't get the right ones right. So I haven't got a three-point play
yet. You're nailing your free throws?
Yeah.
You're just killing the one-pointers.
Yep.
This is your week, bud.
That's not.
I'm going to Jason Bateman you right now.
You can headbutt me all you want.
Hey, bud.
I can't do this.
Who's my little friend who's going to get 6 points this week?
Toby.
No.
Ryan.
It's someone else. Who's my buddy?
Ryan is.
Who's going to get three games right?
Ryan's elevator buddy is going to get more right today than me.
Your elevator buddy's a crazy guy, it sounds like. He was in a tough spot today.
He's yelling, help, and then he like had a moment where he yelled Minnesota.
All right, three-point plays. Let's go in the order of the standings. So, Toby, you go first. We want your three-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes when something screams, it's obvious at you. You want to go away from it, but I think this one's too obvious and too easy. Vikings -3.5 against the Browns in London. Minnesota playing their second straight game overseas. They'll be a little more used to Carson Wentz being under center versus Cleveland starting Dylan Gabriel, who I don't particularly think is a good NFL quarterback anyways, but he's making his first career start against Brian Flores. Give me the Vikings to win by a touchdown and cover the 3.5 over the Browns.
I'm all over this as well. I told Rhino earlier today, this is going to be my play on everything. And everything that I do, survivor pools, whatever, Vikings cover 3.5. I think they win something like, 27-13, 17, something like that.
This smells like we're all going to get this wrong because we're all picking it. But I am also picking Minnesota -3.5. It just makes way too much sense that Dylan Gabriel's not going to be able to move the ball against a Brian Flores defense.
This is a zag spot for somebody. Someone's got a zag here.
I also had Vikings -3.5, but I'm still going to hold on to this. I mean, I just feel as if this is way too easy of a line. I do not trust Dylan Gabriel. I do not trust the Browns, but I do trust that Vikings defense. I think they win by a tutty.
We're going to be the ESPN desk.
I know.
We're just all the helmets that are wrong. I mean, well, someone has Danny to zag here.
The Browns are going to tweet us.
Right.
Post-game, that subtweet.
The at tweet from the Browns admin is going to be at the Grant and Danny radio show with the audio.
In the Johnny Gomes story that Vin Scully told, when the wolf jumped on his chest, Johnny was done. He knew it. The Bengals are done. They knew it. There's a wolf on their chest. They are uncompetitive. Jamar Chase quit on several plays. They are gross. They know they've got no chance. They've got the Detroit Lions, and it's a regular season game, which means Detroit runs up the score on people, and then, of course, they'll choke in playoff time because Jared Goff is a praying mantis. But this is a regular season game. They will dominate. 10.5.
That's a big number.
It's
you're
a big
covering.
Number.
All right, 2-point plays, Tobes.
Give me the Eagles -4.5 against the Broncos. The Broncos' two losses this year have come by a combined 4 points, so you'd think that maybe they keep this one close, but the Eagles are going to win this one, even though they play like the Chiefs of old, where they only win by one-score games. I think they win by at least 5. Eagles -4.5 against the Broncos.
I like you. Tommy want wingy. 2-point play for me. Give me the Dallas Cowboys to cover 2.5 against the winless New York football Jets. Find a way to win that one by a field goal with Dak chucking the football.
I'm headed to Monday Night Football, where I'm going to pick Kansas City -3 in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's had a nice little start, but I think Kansas City is officially rolling. They're getting their weapons back here. I got Kansas City covering that spread on Monday Night Football.
Dad, that doesn't bother you, right? At 3, you don't get a hook there?
It'll find a way to burn me. I'm pretty positive.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm accepting
You're
that.
You're just resigned to that?
Sure.
Okay, fine. Clary, who was stuck in an elevator a few hours ago, but is happy to have oxygen.
I am happy to have oxygen. I am happy to have space. With space in mind, I have got the Ravens +1.5 against the Texans. Listen, you're going to go back to your bread and butter. You're going to feed Derrick Henry against the Texans. Cooper Rush is not going to do anything, but good for you. You've got Derrick Henry. You feed him that football, and he's going to score you some tutties. I've got the Ravens winning by 3.
The Minnesota organization, -3.5. You guys already covered why. That's my 2-point play.
Nobody's zagged. The strategy play there is to go opposite everybody. All right, 1-pointer. Toby, what do you got?
Well, I mean, when everyone gets points and then you don't, that's why you don't zag. But KC -3. Darius already laid it out. They're going to beat Jacksonville. Feels like last week they got their mojo back. KC -3.
1-point play. I'm between Washington and the New York Giants. I think I'm going to take the Giants. I think they went outright in New Orleans. I like the cut of Jackson Dart's jib early on. They are basically in a pick'em contest. They're actually catching 1.5, I think, right now. So lock that in for me there for the Giants. I think they go to New Orleans, and I'll take the 1.5 in a pick'em type game.
I will be going to Sunday Night Football and picking New England to cover that +8.5. As you guys mentioned earlier, this is a fun game, and I do think that that game last week with the Patriots showed that they have some moxie now, and they're going to go into Buffalo, and they're going to give Buffalo their best hand. Meanwhile, Buffalo was lollygagging and struggling to defeat the Saints last week. So I got faith that the Patriots are at least going to cover the spread. They might not win the game, but they'll cover 8.5.
One of my favorite teams is actually the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When I saw this line, I was actually pretty shocked. +3 going up against the Seahawks. I've got the Bucs +3. Listen, I like the Buccaneers. I think they are one of the best teams in the NFC. I could see them definitely pulling off this upset and winning pretty big. So I've got the Bucs +3.
I don't think Houston's any good, but Cooper Rush is starting in a football game. Please act accordingly. Houston -1.5.
I wanted to take the Texans. I thought about it. I like that play for you. I'm on your side, not Clary's. Attaboy, Danny. That's a 6-point week waiting to happen.
No.
You got this.
No.
You're going to get right back into the mix.
I might get one right. It'll be the 1-pointer.
If we lose the Minnesota bet, we have to blame Danny, right?
Oh, definitely.
100%. Yeah.
I was praying he wasn't on our side because there's no chance we're winning that bet.
But no, there is actually a good chance because it's our 1-point play, and Danny loves to hit his 1-point plays.
You know what?
So it's your 3-pointer, the Minnesota one we're talking about.
Well, but it's your 1-point play.
It's my 2.
It's his 2-point.
Oh, Minnesota's my 2. Bad.
Well, that's a tough break for Danny, is if Minnesota does cover, we all get 3 points, he gets 2 points. We still gain on Danny, even though he gets one right.
But mm-hmm. That's true. Again, there's some strategy to this that he's not quite operating with at this point. But I will say, when everyone picks something, typically, it doesn't happen. Like, that's literally how betting
works.
Yeah,
that's how it goes, yeah.
This is the Kevin Sheehan smell test come to life.
It is a manifestation. Well, let me say this. A manifestation of the smell test. Sharp money is on Cleveland and Dylan Gabriel, Maryland.
All of our football conversations Terps. On The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. I am off to Capital One Arena.
Here we go.
Let's go, Caps. Little preseason hockey, and I'm getting a preview of the opener with Boston. Ovi on the ice tonight.
That's next week. They're playing Boston tonight, too?
6 days from now.
That's wild.
We got tickets tomorrow at 4 for someone to go to that opener. We're going to be at Public Bar in Northwest D.C. on 18th Street tomorrow for our Friday field trip. So come on out and hang with us 2 to 6:30 for our Friday show from Public Bar. Have a great night. Toby Altizer, star of the hit podcast, Boston Loose Baseball, which is available brand new after the DeBoney presser yesterday. Wherever you get your audio, you should download it. Comes your way next with Tope for Time.
Thank you for coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.